Well, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. That was Mark Belanger, Labor Radio. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. And on the line with us, Bill Lonergan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, great to be here, Charles. Thank you.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. And I got to tell you, you know, I think I just put the fear of God into people all across the country because I told him, hey, look up Mitch McConnell because that's the guy that's going to be taking advantage of you in a most personal way. If you don't get out and vote. And, you know, quite honestly, you folks down in Kentucky, my brothers and sisters, not that I want to separate myself from you, but y'all can vote down there and I can't. So y'all need to vote.
Well, yeah, that's a key message, Charles. I think turnout is going to be the deciding factor in the election here on November 4th for U.S. Senate. You know, and it's one of those things that you know, if people stay home, we're going to lose. But if they come out and exercise their right to vote, I think we have a great opportunity to replace Mitch McConnell with Alison Lundergan Grimes, somebody that actually cares about people and cares about workers and cares about our issues and wants to actually make Kentucky and this country a better place for the average person as opposed to the millionaires and billionaires. And that's pretty much who McConnell's been answering to, and that's who's funding his campaigns, Charles.
You know, and we got to get something straight down there, okay? And I, you know, I quite honestly, even up here, I've had it up to my eyeballs with this war on coal miners. It's not a war on coal, folks. It's a war on coal miners. And the carpet bombings being conducted by Mitch McConnell and his cronies. And let me explain why. Black lung has hit all-time highs. It has the black lung disease, a preventable disease. We know exactly what causes it. We know how to stop it. There's no treatment for it. Okay? Black lung, all-time high. Hasn't been this high since the 70s. Why is that? Oh, it's just certain mines. Bill, what mines are those that we have people getting black lung in?
Oh, those are mines that are not represented by the United Mine Workers of America, Charles.
Is there some kind of magic wand that Cecil Roberts waves over a mine when it becomes a union mine and makes it black lung free? Or is there training and equipment and mandates and adherence to the regulations that makes that a safer mine?
That's exactly right, and all of the collective bargaining agreements that are passed and voted on by the members in the mines have stringent health and safety requirements and don't allow the coal operator to take advantage of the situation and put people in unsafe conditions because in a union mine, they're not going to do that because they know they'll get a grievance or get a strike or they'll get some action as a result, and obviously in a non-union sector, workers don't have those same protections, Charles, and you know, they're at the mercy in a lot of cases of these mine operators who really put them in a very bad situation, and it's, you know, quite obvious and evident now from the statistics that have come out on black lung that it is certainly not being addressed in those types of mines. It's certainly not being taken seriously, and the precautions that could be taken, which are widely available, are not being taken. And as a result, we're having this great spike in black lung. And, you know, people like Mitch McConnell try to fight them on black lung benefits when workers contract this incurable, deadly disease. As you mentioned, preventable. It's interesting. It's preventable and it's incurable. It's a dreaded disease that really saps the life out of a person or a mine worker that gets it. And it's a really sad and very, very bad way to go, let's say. Let's put it that way. And, you know, there are ways to prevent it, and they're not being used. And it's a real shame, I'll say, on those that are putting miners in that position. And, you know, it's just, you know, indicative of that philosophy about not having regulations and having, you know, the owners of businesses making decisions that aren't in the best interest of the people they employ. And what they do about it, you know, sometimes they get a little smack on the wrist, or maybe they get their minds closed, and then they go open another one. So it's a real problem, and it's really indicative of what's going on out in the mine industry, where things have not gotten any better. And as the competition for jobs have increased, it seems like some of the safety and health rules and exposure limits and such are being ignored.
Bill, this whole war on coal miners, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I think it's insidious. I think it is shameful. I don't know why people allow this to happen. And this war on coal miners, it's not a war on coal. It's a war on coal miners. Coal mines are making money hand over fist. And I got to tell you, the reason why they don't want to adhere to the safety regulations, like making sure that they're dusting and they have proper ventilation and proper masks and so on and so forth, is because they can make money faster at the coal miner's expense.
Exactly right, Charles. And this whole notion of this war on coal, of course, is related to the decline of coal jobs across the board, not just here in Kentucky, but in the entire Appalachian region. McConnell is out there trying to blame it on the president and the EPA and saying that it just kind of happened now. But for 30 years, Charles, we've been losing thousands upon thousands of coal jobs here in Kentucky, and McConnell hasn't done a darn thing about that. You know, he wants to try to blame it on somebody else, but all the while he has been in office, thousands upon thousands of coal jobs, the industry has continued to decline over that period. And he's trying to act like it just happened today, and that's not the case. And Charles, when you look behind the statistics and the reasons for the decline of coal, of course, there's lots of them. But, the main ones they point out are the natural gas, the prices of natural gas, which makes it a more attractive energy source than coal. And a lot of the power plants are converting to that to take advantage of that cost difference. They want to act like it's all just about regulations. But, Charles, I read the other day, and it was interesting. They talked about how many mines were closing, and one of these coal analysts, companies that analyzes the industry, that knows the industry in and out, issued a report. And I thought the report would immediately say, oh, gee whiz, they're closing all these mines because of regulations. And, Charles, I was actually shocked when the key reasons for it. One, of course, I already mentioned natural gas. The other one is the imports of coal. And one of the countries that is the primary exporter of coal to the United States right now is Colombia. Colombia, the country where if you're a union member, a union leader, you have a bullseye on your back, where they murder people routinely for being in a union and to try and stand up for their rights. And that's where a lot of this coal is coming from. So what's happening is they're taking advantage of these free trade agreements, which McConnell supports, and they're bringing in coal. And, of course, it's cheaper. So people are, power companies are going to buy the cheaper coal. And therefore, our coal mines here in Kentucky are going to close because, obviously, the folks down in Colombia aren't making near as much. And they've got, military forces to keep them in line. And it's really a terrible situation, but it just goes to show you how much misinformation is out there about what's really happening in the coal industry. And when I found out, from this report, just how significant the importation of coal is to the decline of the industry, I was actually shocked. And I was even more shocked and distressed when I found out that a lot of it's coming from Colombia. And it's really a bad situation. And we had, these free trade agreements, which allow this kind of stuff to go on, and they bring the coal in at a lower price, just like they would import tires from China and put our, steel workers and rubber workers out of business. That's kind of the thing that's happening. And, I haven't heard McConnell say a darn thing about that. I'm interested to find out who's shipping that coal up here and whether or not one of the companies that is associated or affiliated with his wife's family might be taking advantage of that and making some money off the coal coming in this way.
That's very interesting, and I, just like you, had no idea. Importing coal, that's kind of like shipping coal to Newcastle, huh?
Right. Right. But, of course, Charles, it's related to the so-called free trade agreements, which, take barriers and tariffs off any kind of goods or materials coming in and really, undermine the people here in the United States. As you know, this is more widespread and much more evident, we'll say, in manufacturing, where we've lost, you know, millions of jobs to, you know, Mexico, South America, and China, of course. And, you know, this has not been something that folks have necessarily been made aware of. And I really hope that we're going to get that message out, because it just shows you that these free trade agreements not only undermine, you know, our manufacturing base, but it's also undermining our coal industry.
Bill, we're going to have to take a short break. I got to digest that, and I got to try and come up with some other interesting things about that. But in the meantime, we're going to take a break. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio.
Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio, supporting all working families and their communities.
Just when you thought the plutocratic profiteers running America's exploitative low-wage economy could not get any more clueless, self-serving, pious, and mingy, along comes Lady Maria of Marriott, magnanimously saying, "Let them eat tips." Marriott is the corporate domain of the Royal Marriott dynasty that supports the political notion that America is divided between a few noble makers, like them, and a mass of takers, like you and me. They own 4,000 hotels with 690,000 rooms operating under 18 different brand names, ranging from plebeian chains like Fairfield Inn to the luxury Ritz-Carlton Resorts, hauling in nearly $13 billion in revenue last year. Yet, the extravagantly rich Marriott domain is a miserly employer that fattens its profits by paying its hard-working housekeepers poverty-level wages of roughly $8.32 an hour. So, enter Lady Maria Shriver, grandly offering to boost the pay of Marriott's 22,000 North American housekeepers. A pay raise, perhaps? Oh, tut-tut, the moneyed elites prefer charitable gestures to straightforward populist remedies. So, Shriver's Foundation has partnered with a far-flung hotel empire to reduce its low-wage housekeepers to begging for alms from Marriott customers. The corporate giant has adopted Shriver's noblesse oblige program, gaily titled The Envelope, Please, by putting an envelope in each room asking customers to subsidize its employees' wages with tips. The envelope even scolds customers, saying that the hard work of room attendants is many times overlooked when it comes to tipping. This is Jim Hightower saying, hello, Marriott is the one deliberately overlooking the hard work of its housekeepers. This is a disgraceful and embarrassing exercise of corporate feudalism. Come on, Marriott. Stop playing Lord of the Manor and just pay a decent wage.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
Confusion over someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate your time and your efforts on that. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge and tell your friends about us so they can do the same. We appreciate that. On the phone with us right now, Bill Londrigan, president of the Kentucky AFL-CIO. Bill, welcome back.
Boy, thanks, Charles. Great to be here.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. You know, I got to ask you, you know, is there a nexus between Mitch McConnell in fracking and natural gas? I mean, is his family invested in it? Are they supporting it? Are they getting campaign contributions?
You know, I don't know about that. Charles, I do know that, he's gotten money from the Koch brothers, of course, and other energy companies, and, of course, some of the mine operations, Bob Murray's group, Murray Energy and such. About the fracking part, I'm not real sure. Haven't delved into that very much to see where we're at with that. What do you ask that for?
Well, I'm just wondering because, you know, Mitch McConnell is actually conducting a war against coal miners. You know, he's not supporting them, won't support veterans benefits, so on and so forth. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, he may even be thinking to himself, well, I can take these checks from these big coal companies, but then I can go get checks from the fracking companies too. And I was just wondering if, you know, if you're going to be underhanded, why not be underhanded with both hands?
Well, I kind of think that's exactly the way it goes. I'm sure, you know, you take it from whoever will give it, and some of the richest in the country, the billionaires, the Koch brothers, Adelson, that whole bunch. They're into giving it to Mitch McConnell, and he's got his hand out. And Charles, on that note, I mean, it's just incredible how much money is being spent in this election right now in U.S. Senate here in Kentucky, and it's unbelievable the amount of PACs, super PACs, 501s, you name it. They're here. They're spending millions upon millions of dollars. One person had the estimate that believe it or not, he was the estimate that this campaign may reach $100 million. And right now, the opponents of Allison, Mitch's friends, are probably outspending about 5-1, I think it is. It's just an incredible amount of money that's coming into Kentucky and, just blanketing the airwaves, radio, TV, you name it. And it's, one of those deals where they think they can, tell enough lies and people will believe them. And that's really, one of the problems with the way the system's set up now. It's, McConnell said it, didn't he, Charles? I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. He said, money is free speech. And as you know, he was one of the lead supporters or interveners in Citizens United and the McCutcheon case. So that more money can flow into the system and more money can flow into his campaign funds. And it's a really terrible, terrible, situation that we're in where, money is free speech because I guess the first person with the most money has the biggest mouth. And the average person that doesn't really have any money to spend on a campaign, I guess they don't have a chance to talk. I mean, that's kind of the way I, interpret Mr. McConnell's statement about money being free speech. I think it's so, anti-American, undemocratic, and so wrong. And that's one of the things we've got to get people focused on, just how wrong-headed that whole approach is to campaign finance and how it's, threatening our democracy, threatening to be taken over by what Hightower called the plutocrats, a small group of extremely wealthy families. And that's not where we want to go. And that's where we're heading right now. And unfortunately, with people like Mitch McConnell, that's where he wants us to go, because you know, when he's worth about $25 million, well, he sure is closer to them than he is to us.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, the idea that one person can have a louder voice, i.e., be able to put more cash into a campaign than the other person and speak louder than the other person, that's, you know, that's downright un-American.
I believe you're right. Now, let me just shift gears a little, Charles, and talk about what's going on down here as far as our efforts to get our endorsed candidates elected, like Allison, our state house endorsed candidates. And we've got people working all across the state trying to get the message out, going to work sites, leafleting, calling folks on the phone, knocking on doors. And we've got events going on from probably here to November 4th. And this week alone, several activities are going to happen. We have a group called Nuns on the Bus. Nuns on the Bus, Charles. They're touring the country and talking about economic justice, increasing the minimum wage, earned income tax credits, things of that nature to try and, you know, give working people a boost. They're in favor of collective bargaining and unionization. And on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, they'll be in Lexington and in Louisville. And I'll have the pleasure of joining them for some of their activities, a roundtable discussion on why we need to raise the minimum wage and try to put some focus on that issue. Later on in the month, Cecil Roberts, a great president of the United Mine Workers, will be coming back to Kentucky again, Charles, and we'll be having some rallies and get-togethers and activities in East Kentucky and in West Kentucky and try to get the word out to the folks out in the coal fields to let them know, you know, they need to change. They need to get rid of Mitch McConnell if we're, you know, have any hope whatsoever of improving our way of life and our standards of living and our working conditions.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, Sister Simone Campbell of Nuns on the Bus, she is the executive director of that organization. You know, she may be a nun, but she doesn't mince words, and she is most willing to take people to task when they deserve it. And I think Paul Ryan's still stinging from a couple that she sent down his direction. But, she...
Well, I like a feisty nun. Now we'll get out here and say the truth about what's going on and what needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Bill, we got about a minute left. I understand that latest polls...
Allison up one. Charles, this is here in Kentucky, we like a horse race, a good horse race, and that's exactly what we got. In spite of the millions of dollars being spent on the other side, it's right neck and neck, within the margin of error, of course, 1 point up, 1 point down. Charles, I think that's the way it's going to maintain here as we go through October and into November 4th. I believe the election will be won or lost by a couple percentage points. That's the way it is, and that's why it's so important for us to energize and motivate union members, working people, their families, veterans, women, and everybody, and to get them out to vote and to vote for their own interests, not for the interests of billionaires and millionaires that Mitch McConnell's concerned about.
Absolutely, and I'll tell you, Bill, this is a wonderful thing that's going on down in Kentucky. You guys are you're going to get it done. I know you are, and you got a heck of a ground game, and we appreciate that.
You're welcome. Have a great day, and hopefully we'll bring home a victory for all the country, not just Kentucky, on November 4th.
Absolutely. And for those of you who haven't Googled Mitch McConnell's picture yet, just go right ahead. Google him, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what Living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Hotel workers in Los Angeles won a major victory as the LA City Council voted this week to raise the minimum wage at large hotels to $15.37 an hour. That vote was 12 to 3. Already, some hotels are threatening to sue to block the wage hike. The council members who voted for the wage increase say it will lift thousands of working people out of poverty. Rachel Torres is an organizer with the Raise LA Coalition.
A lot of hotel owners already pay this wage and want to see uniformity in the market. But of course, there are those who want to, you know, stand on the wrong side of history and sort of believe that the poverty way to go. The city also is going to be looking at a citywide proposal. So unlike years before, they had said, oh, why are you targeting one industry? Well, in fact, the city is going to be looking at all industries, and we believe that the hotel industry is the first industry that can afford it. It's seen record profits, but I believe that, you know, setting a strong precedent in a strong industry will help mobilize and help move forward the citywide proposal that the council and the mayor are really eager to push forward as well.
Torres says labor activists who made this happen in Los Angeles are hopeful that it can inspire similar actions across the country.
We're hopeful that if we can do this here, that we set a strong precedent, not just for our city, but for the county and for other cities across the country to do that.
The $15.37 an hour hotel minimum wage in Los Angeles is effective next July for hotels with at least 300 rooms. A year later, it will apply to hotels with at least 150 rooms. The United States is moving to enforce labor rights provisions in its trade agreement with Guatemala. Radio Labor's C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
Unions fighting to help workers in Guatemala have won a major victory. The United States government has announced that it will begin the formal process within a trade agreement to investigate labor rights abuses in Guatemala. This is the first time the United States has used the disputes mechanism in a trade agreement to investigate the enforcement of labor rights. The decision comes after a long campaign by the largest union federation in the United States, the AFL-CIO. 6 years ago, the federation partnered with Guatemalan unions and filed a petition alleging widespread and serious labor rights violations. One of the charges against the Guatemalan government is that it has not investigated numerous murders of union leaders. The legal proceedings initiated under the provisions of the trade agreement with Guatemala initiates an arbitration process which could force the country to live up to its promises to respect labor rights.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Live nationwide weekdays noon to 3 p.m. at theunionedge.com.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.